Hello, welcome to the Thursday, April 11th, 2013 edition of the Sands and its Storms and its Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Well, let's start today with diaries, and we do have a diary by Manuel to start out with. He is seeing lately a lot of emails claiming to come from Google. Now, he is seeing them mostly in Colombia, where he lives. I haven't seen any of these emails. These emails claim to be a response to a resume that you submitted to Google, and essentially they're saying, well, here's the information that you send us. Could you please review it? And then, of course, if you do happen to open the attachment, it turns out to be a Trojan. Now, the Trojan is pretty well recognized by antivirus, but one thing Manuel points out that in particular in Colombia, many users use pirated software and usually without antivirus, and then, of course, with less patches applied and antivirus, you typically do have to pay for it in order to get updates. The Trojan itself is not all that terribly spectacular. It's just your standard backdoor. Of course, now your system could be used for whatever the attacker wants to do with it. Of course, one thing this malware may want to steal from you is your passwords. And in order to solve the problem of having too many passwords and not being able to remember them all or creating complex enough ones, Firefox or Mozilla better came up with a solution, Persona, and they just released a second beta of this project. I think it's somewhat comparable from reading the protocol to using SSL client certificates to sign in. But what's sort of different is that Mozilla really is the repository of these certificates and is able to validate them. In order to participate in Persona, what you do as a user is that you sign up with the Persona system with Mozilla. You create a public and a private key pair as part of that sign-up process. Now, in order to sign into a website now that does support a Persona, what you would do is you would just enter your email address and then the browser would essentially provide a signed certificate stating that you do own the email address. The website itself can then connect to Mozilla to figure out whether or not the certificate is signed correctly with a certificate that's actually associated with that email address. So it's different from password saves and such. It's not like Mozilla is storing all your passwords for these websites, but the websites have to specifically support it. Now, in this second beta, one feature that Mozilla came up with was something they call an identity bridge, where you can use other accounts, like for example your Yahoo email account, to sign into Persona. The way they do that is by essentially using protocols like OAuth and OpenID that sites like Yahoo already support in order to facilitate that authentication. So if everybody supports Persona, the only thing you need to do is log into Persona itself. You still need a username and password for that, but once you're logged into Persona, then you would essentially be automatically logged into all these other sites. The only thing you need to provide is your email address. A little bit different in OpenID in the sense that you could use different email addresses with different sites. So privacy is a bit better with Persona than it is with OpenID. With OpenID, you essentially use the same OpenID, the same identifier for all sites that you log into, unless you do have multiple OpenID accounts, and that kind of defeats the purpose of only having one username and password. So it looks like an interesting project. Haven't really figured out yet if it'll support it on the Internet Storm Center website. Really have to see whether or not it will go beyond the beta stage and actually become a real product that people want to use. And while we're talking about passwords, Microsoft is rumored to soon allow two-factor authentication for its web properties. Not 100% sure yet how this will exactly work. Right now, there are just a couple of leaked screenshots that sort of show the user interface of the process. And Twitter has been used in the latest attacks against Tibetan activists. Turns out that tweets were sent to these users, redirecting them to a Chinese language blog. And now this blog was running WordPress and was infected with some fairly recent Flash vulnerabilities, for example, CVE-2013-6334. This isn't really a big surprise since most tweets include a link, and usually these links are somewhat obfuscated. Even in this case, actually, I don't think a short link or a URL shortener was really used, but instead the actual URL was visible, which actually helped to lure more victims in this case because it was a somewhat well-known Chinese WordPress blog that was advertised here. Well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.